Today on NFL Fantasy Live, Cleveland rocked the Bengals in Cincy Thursday as Andy Dalton failed to get his offense on track. We break down his team's nightmare fantasy performance. Plus, Michael Fabiano dishes out his must-start quarterbacks for Week 10. Does Big Ben make the list, or will his hot streak come to an end? And if your fantasy team is in a bye, no reason to worry, because Marcus Grant is here with some fantasy tech support. NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose, starts now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the, thank you, conductor, maestro, Matt Money Smith here with the Admiral, Akbar Abaja Biamila, and the Hoff, Michael Fabiano. Remember, you can always tweet the show at NFL Fantasy. I think I called you the Admiral instead of the Admiral. I don't know if I'm getting Admiral ready for the game in London or
yes,
what. Six
are.
Teams. You guys hear about this? Six teams on a bye this week.
I think so.
Here's a look at some key fantasy players that are going to be out. No Andrew Luck, no Tom Brady, no Phillip Rivers. Man, would have been nice to get him in back-to-back games
Foster.
After that performance. Well, yes, Arian Foster.
Him. I need Teddy Bridgewater in my life.
Alfred Morris has been good lately. So, with all of those big-time names out, give us some spot starts. Top spot starts to plug in for some points. Fabs, what are we doing?
Bobby Rainey. We had him last week. I will start him again this week because he's got a really good matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. They've given up more touchdowns and more fantasy points than any other team in the National Football League to running backs. So if Rainey is on the waiver wire, pick him up and play him. If he's on your fantasy team, start him as a flex or even an RB2.
We have been talking about Rainey all week, yet you still see that number at the bottom of the screen, owned in just 23% of our NFL.com league. So be sure to check your players available tab, and Rainey may in fact be available in your league. How about it, Akbar? What are you doing?
Well, my pick is a little controversial, but I'm going with Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler has been phenomenal on the road this year. You look at his production that he has. He has 12 touchdowns on the road this year and only three interceptions in his five road games. And look, I look at him as a big-time player. Yes, I know he's going to Green Bay. I know what all the stats and the history says.
House of Horrors.
But I think that when you look at his last big-time, primetime game on Sunday night, he had 176 yards, four touchdowns, no interception. He was able to take care of the ball. This is a divisional rivalry. I think this is going to be huge with Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte. All those guys are going to be hitting on cylinder. They've been down. It's Jay Cutler's time to shine right now.
Now, you said it would be controversial. I respectfully disagree.
So do I.
Wholeheartedly.
And we'll debate that. Maybe Sunday we can debate.
We can go more. We'll
Week 10 spot starts later in the show. But for now, let's throw it over to Marcus Grant and Adam Rank.
Thank you, Money. We are getting you caught up with all the news and notes from around the National Football League. And we will start with some good news for the Dallas Cowboys. Quarterback Tony Romo is officially listed as probable for the team's matchup with the Jaguars in London on Sunday. On Thursday, Romo took part in his first practice since injuring his back in Week 8, and he told reporters that he's improving each day. So it sounds like Romo is going to play, but Rank, do you trust starting?
There are a number of other quarterbacks I would start ahead of him. I think of guys like Mark Sanchez I would certainly put ahead of him, but I would start Tony Romo over other players like Jay Cutler. So he's about 11 right now when we're doing our quarterback rankings, but it's a tougher matchup against Jacksonville than people will give it credit for. The Jags are one of two teams that have at least two sacks on the season, so they're going to be getting after the quarterback a little bit. And really, you know, if London really wants to have a truly NFL experience, they got to root against the Cowboys. That's the one thing I'm asking London to do.
I'm still stuck on your Sanchez over Romo. Who would have thought that back in August,
right? I would have thought. Okay,
right, maybe you. Calvin Johnson has been a full participant in practice this week. Megatron hasn't played since Week 5 due to an ankle injury, but told the media earlier this week that he expects to suit up and play this weekend, and he's feeling rejuvenated. So what are your expectations for Calvin in his first game back, and how does this impact Golden Tate?
Yeah, I expect him to hit the ground running. This isn't going to be a situation where he was a decoy like he was a couple of weeks earlier. He's had a couple of games off. He's had a bye week, so I expect him to go out there and play pretty well. I also expect Golden Tate to benefit, too, because when Calvin Johnson is on the field, They have to roll coverage his way. That gives a lot of opportunities to Golden Tate. So if you got him, go ahead and start.
We saw a lot of that, not last night, but with A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu,
right.
too.
Well, I think, you know, the Lions have a little bit more of a credible quarterback. We could probably get him the ball, so I think he'll be better off.
Perhaps. Bills rookie wide receiver Sammy Watkins missed practice again on Friday and is listed as questionable for Sunday. Watkins hurt his groin at practice on Wednesday, hasn't practiced since. If Sammy does hit the field this week, can you trust him in your lineup with that groin injury?
I certainly wouldn't. The one thing, when a guy doesn't practice on Friday, it stands out to me that he either will not play, or if he is going to play, he's going to be a decoy. Similarly to what Calvin Johnson was doing, you put Sammy Watkins out there, teams have to account for him. They have to see where he's on the field, which could open it up for guys like Robert Woods. So if Watkins plays and you got Bobby Woods out there, start Woods because he's going to end up being the beneficiary of all that rolled coverage towards Sammy Watkins.
The guy had as a deep sleeper this year. He's had some decent games this year.
Woods is no joke.
No joke, absolutely. Also in Buffalo, Bills running back Fred Jackson is listed as questionable. Jackson hasn't played since injuring his groin in Week 7 against the Vikings, and he's been limited at practice all week. So if Fred Jackson can go for the Bills, do you have any hesitation starting him against the Chiefs?
I hesitate because I already started Jeremy Hill. Instantly regret that. You know, he's really ahead of schedule. This is one of the things we thought he was going to be out for maybe a couple of more weeks. But if he's available, the matchup still isn't good enough. I'm going to keep him on the bench for one more week. Hopefully we'll get a chance to watch him, see how he plays against this team, because there's going to be some decent matchups for him coming up down the stretch here. So I'm going to hold off on Fred Jackson. I know there's six teams on a bye, but you probably already went out and made your contingency plans. So stick with those and see what happens. Because, again, I got to stick with Jeremy Hill.
One thing it means is that you can probably put Anthony Dixon back on the
That's a good news. Yeah, that's a good news.
So you can do that. Be sure to set your DVRs for our late airing of NFL Fantasy Live for all the latest injury news and updates for your roster. Tune in at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific, right here on NFL Network. For more now, we'll throw it back to Bunny and the guys.
All right, how about the battle for the belt?
Who's that?
Rust Belt. Oh, Andy Dalton, Brian Hoyer, two dudes whose alma maters are in the conversation for a college football playoff. Let's get right to it. After an interception in the first, Browns are set up in the red zone, second and goal on the 4, and it is number 44, even with the yellow laundry on the field. Ben Tate.
Vulture.
Gets the touchdown, 7-0.
They were showing him no love during the game.
Two drives later, Browns have it on the 2, second and goal, and this time it is, Isaiah Crowell's turn.
I see you, Crow.
Browns jump up 14-3. It's his third touchdown in 3 games, as a matter of fact.
And everybody gets a touchdown.
Barely over the goal line there. Let's get to the third. Cleveland keeps it going. 2nd and 10 on the 31. This time it's Hoyer to Gary Barney.
Adam Rank called it.
He sure did. How about that? Although, down at the 2-yard line. So how about this? Hoyer, by the way, finished with just 8 fantasy points. Couple plays later, guess who gets a touchdown? Yeah, the
Mama,
man.
There goes that man,
that
Mr.
carried
West.
Most of the load. And you see, a lot of people thought that was a fumble. No, all it's got to do is break the plane, and you are all good. And there it is for Terrence West, the extension.
But if you started Terrence West, you were nervous there for a second.
Yeah, you were. That's
since
it.
Since I did start him.
So did I.
Fourth quarter, Bengals have it 3rd and 15. Dalton airs one out for James Wright. Oh, Buster Skrine. How about that? Dalton's third interception of the game.
Bust.
They go on to win 24-3. Mike Penn there. How about Brian Hoyer with those 8 points?
This is bad.
See that Jeremy Hill there? 4.1 points.
Ugly. Yeah.
That is the lowest number for a team's highest scoring fantasy player this season, 4.1.
Now you see that negative 1.76?
Yep.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel had more fantasy points than Andy Dalton. How about that?
Is that a joke?
No, that's real. That's real talk.
Johnny Manziel had 0.
That's a good point. By the way, that only the third lowest quarterback performance this season. Remember Philip Rivers last week against the Dolphins was even worse. Here you go. Pick a running back, any running back. Terrence West, with those 94 yards, got the bulk of the carries. But Crowell and Tate each get a touchdown, each running back, in double digits. And you see Tate gives you a little extra with the 2 receptions for 27 yards. So the Browns' running game played a big part in that win with those 3 touchdowns. So, Akbar, give us the one that you trust the most.
I'm going to go with Terrence West. When I look at the game, this game, you look at who's getting the majority of the carries, it went towards, of course, Terrence West. Terrence West, he got what I call the important runs. He was the most trusted. When the coaches wanted to get good yards, hard yards, they went towards Terrence West. Yeah, they threw in Ben Tate every now and again. They gave Isaiah Crowell, but they've been cool on Ben Tate. tape for some reason. I haven't figured it out. Isaiah Crowell, I know he dropped the ball a couple of times against the Pittsburgh Steelers, so they backed off on him. Terrence West has more upside, and he looks to be the better and younger running back in this backfield.
You want to talk about trust? This is Shanahanigan's the sequel. Okay,
the
first one was played out by the old man, Mike Shanahan. This one's being played out by his kid, Kyle Shanahan. I don't trust any of these guys.
Well, see, I would disagree, though, Babs, because Kyle found a hammer in Alfred Morris in Washington, and that was a fantasy running back you could trust.
He's got three here, though.
Yeah, I think it's that Ben Tate has been so bad when it comes to trying to turn out yards that they're trying to find an answer.
I remember, like, Darryl Young vulturing touchdowns with the Redskins last year, too. Roy Helu, the same kind of thing. It's all about shenanigans.
You know, Terrence West almost didn't have a touchdown in that game because we saw that they tried several times with Crowell. He wasn't able to get it in. Then they put in West. So I was like, come on, get Terrence West
in there. I'm all about the carries. The fact that he's getting all the carries, that's the, I'm comfortable
right now
starting West right now as a flex.
Next week or the week after, who knows?
How about the Browns defense, by the way, guys? You want to talk about consistency? The Browns defense is averaging 11 points per game as a fantasy defense. The last five contests in a row, they had 17 against Cincinnati in Cincinnati. And how about their next three games? You take a look. They get to face Houston. Who knows if that's Ryan Mallett or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Either way, I feel pretty good about that for the Browns defense.
Looks like it's Mallett,
yeah.
And then they get the Atlanta Falcons. And that offensive line has been so dismal with this front combined with that secondary in Cleveland. Could be a good start for you if you want to keep riding it. And they're available in a whole lot of NFL.com
leagues. Hey, buddy, you started the Browns defense last night?
I did. Unfortunately,
I like what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. Only got to be able to do it in one. I think I got the Ravens going in hours
this
week.
That's a good matchup,
switching
too.
Over to the Bengals side, hard not to feel bad for anyone who spot started Andy Dalton. Take a look at his career numbers now in primetime, guys.
My prayers are with any of those fantasy owners.
Now, this is a trend I've got to remember, and I've got to give props to my buddy Ryan, our cameraman, who had Phillip Rivers last week, got negative 3 points from him, then had Rivers on a bye this week.
Yep.
Who is his backup?
I'm afraid to say Andy Dalton.
And then he got a stinker from him last night.
Oh, no, I'm going to have my wife make him a
Ryan
pie.
Ryan is crying in his tea this morning.
Do we trust Andy Dalton moving forward if he's not in prime time? I mean, how bad? And this was such a bad performance, Akbar. He was so off the mark.
Let me just go out and say it. No, I can't trust him. You can't play this poorly. You can't be a $100 million quarterback and have A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu, and have a solid running back in Jeremy Hill and play like this in the jungle at home? This is pathetic.
So,
I'm sorry.
All right, Akbar,
it's not acceptable.
If you're not playing Andy Dalton, Fabs, can you play A.J. Green?
So you have to play A.J. Green. I mean, you
what
certainly
your
have to play
expectations
him. Because, listen, Dalton was awful last night. He was terrible, but he's not going to be that bad going forward, guys. You're never as bad as you look, right? He's not going to look that bad the rest of the season. You're not going to look
that
bad. That's
scary.
Tom Brady was awful for 4 weeks. Now he's the best quarterback
in
fantasy
football.
Look,
when I made the trade with money, I thought maybe I should have given A.J. Green. He clearly beat Joe Hayden right off the ball when he was trying to press him, and he was sitting there wide open, and Andy Dalton couldn't get him the ball.
I would simply point out, let's not forget how great Mohamed Sanu has been in the absence of A.J. Green. Andy Dalton was throwing him the ball again. For whatever reason, when those lights get bright, Andy Dalton does not play well. And that is a characteristic for a quarterback, that in the playoffs, when the games are the biggest and the stakes are the highest, they just don't perform. And for whatever reason, in Andy Dalton's young career, that has been the one thing that has plagued him.
He's supposed to feel comfortable at home, though. This is the jungle.
That's your home.
So now we have a new
feel
trend,
comfortable
guys.
In your home.
Andy Dalton on national TV, bench him.
What about Jeremy Hill moving forward?
Well, see, everyone is all about this kid, and he's extremely talented. There's no question about that, but I mean, Giovanni Bernard's the best running back on that team.
True.
And when Gio comes back, I still think he is going to see more touches out of the backfield than Jeremy Hill.
But they may give him the ball in the goal line area. Goal line area
that
could be
is
Jeremy
a potential
Hill. He's a big physical guy.
But earlier this year, we saw Gio get some goal line work as well. So I don't think this is going to be a true 50-50 committee. When Gio comes back, I still think he's going to be the guy there. But Hill certainly is rosterable.
It's going to be 70-30 or something like that. Yeah. 70-30,
I'll say 70-30.
When you watch the tape that we're playing playing right here, Akbar, in a zone running scheme. He is one cut and go, and he is alone. The fumble notwithstanding, that's someone that is getting you 4 to 5 yards per carry, and that's what Hugh Jackson wants. So I would not be surprised to see him be a big part of this offense.
Move the chains, get the third down conversion, give me another opportunity to be able to get the ball down the field. That's what Hugh Jackson wants to do, and Jeremy Hill provides that.
All right, still to come on NFL Fantasy Live with 6 teams on a bye. Could Mark Sanchez actually be a decent fill-in?
What?
Find out during our rapid-fire spot start debate. And later we head to the other side of the ball. Fabs and Akbar reveal their top defenses to stream for Monster Points in Week 10. We're back in just a few. It's time now for player comparisons presented by SAP. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money Smith here with Michael Fabiano, Akbar Baja, B. Amila. And guys, we have got a lot of, did you hear about this? A lot of teams on a bye.
Six?
I think. You know what? I'll have to double check. So let's get some players head to head, see who happens to be the better spot start for the week. How about a minute on the clock from the ether? We're waiting. Away we go. First, better spot start, Ryan Tannehill versus the Lions, Alex Smith versus the Bills.
I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill against the Detroit Lions. I think this team has been playing pretty well. Bill Lazor's got Tannehill going.
They both have bad matchups, but I would go Tannehill as well.
All right. How about Mark Sanchez versus the Panthers or Joe Flacco versus the Titans?
Oh, man. Joe Flacco.
All right.
I'm going Sanchez against the Panthers. I like his matchup better. He's a plug and play in Chip Kelly's offense.
Titans give up those deep balls, and they got Torrey Smith. Frank Gore versus the Saints or Shoelace Robinson versus the Cowboys. That'd be Denard Robinson.
Yeah, I still don't believe in Denard Robinson as every down back, so I'm going to go with Frank Gore.
The Cowboys have given up 20-plus fantasy points to running backs in 2 straight weeks. It's Shoelace.
All right. Darren Sproles versus the Panthers or Reggie Bush versus the Dolphins. I know where you're going. How about you, Fabs?
I'll go Reggie Bush here because it's a game against a former team. I'm not in love with either one of them, though.
All right. How about it?
I'm going to go with Darren Sproles.
I'm going to sneak one in. Steven Jackson versus the Bucs or Trey Mason versus the Cards. I heard the bell. Give it to me, though.
I'm going to go Steven Jackson on this one.
Ran the ball a lot against there.
Over 11 points in his last game against the Buccaneers. It's Steven Jackson.
All right, fantasy fans, if you're not sure which players to start each week, examine the player comparison tool with insights from SAP, exclusive only to NFL.com fantasy users. Researches recent performances and matchups to help you decide who to start and sit. Put it into practice by visiting NFL.com/fantasy. How about this? A look at our aggregate defensive rankings for Week 10. So stick with the defenses, gentlemen. Let's chat about some to stream this week, because we think they have a shot at racking up some points. Anybody start the Browns last night? Anybody?
I wish I would have. 17 fantasy points. That's pretty good.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
This guy. I did in one league.
That's good. You get a pound. You know how to do that.
The Browns have been good. You know, we talked about it earlier. They have been really, really good this season, this stretch about 5 weeks. But how about it? For streaming a defense that you didn't put the Browns in this week, what do you got?
I'm going with the Cardinals. Now, a lot of people may think, well, the Cardinals are owned in a lot of leagues. But actually, I'm in 11 leagues, guys. You all know that. I was able to pick up the Cardinals in 4 different leagues. So if they're available in my leagues, they're available out there, and they have definitely got to be active this week against the St. Louis Rams. They have scored a touchdown in each of their last 2 games against St. Louis, and the Rams, well, they have been very generous to opposing defenses, allowing an average of almost 13 fantasy points per game. So, Austin Davis, Kenny Britt, Trey Mason, get those guys out there and get the Cardinals' defense in there against them.
Yeah, since no Brian Quick, that offense has changed dramatically and has become very generous to opposing defenses. Akbar, you're going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're going up against the Buffalo Bills. Look, the truth is that the Buffalo Bills, they don't have a run game, and so that means they're going to have to pass the ball in order to stay in this game, because the Kansas City Chiefs, they've got a run game, not necessarily a passing game, but they'll be able to score points is my point. This defense is so aggressive, they're going to have to get after Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton is going to be sitting there thinking he's going to drop back and pass, and then boom, he meets a guy by the name of Houston. Houston's going to be in his face, and this defense, they are getting sacks. They've had 3 sacks in 5 of the last 6 games, so you know that they can get you points. They're going to create turnovers. They had 3 takeaways and a touchdown in their last game, so I say this defense is the defense to strength.
All right, Fabs, I think you beat me to it in our Fantasy Live League. I did get the Cowboys in 2 of my 4 leagues, though, to stream this week, so don't be surprised if it's sitting there and people have not realized, they're across the pond playing the Jaguars. What have the Jaguars done this season? Only allowed the most fantasy points. 2 defenses this season, nearly 13 per game. 19 giveaways this season. Blake Bortles just offers them up as holiday presents to all that come. Second most in the NFL. Six total takeaways in three road games this season for the Cowboys, and one-plus takeaway in each of their eight games this season. That is a defense to stream. And again, if it wasn't for this guy, I'd have him on three of my four teams. For more on how some English weather and cold temperatures in the United States might impact this weekend's games, let's throw it out to Jim Kosek of KCTV Kansas City.
Oh, that's right. Time to turn her up a few decibels and get some culture at the same time, gentlemen. Because did you know $3 is five beans in the U.S. of A? You don't go across the pond thinking you're getting the same exchange rate. Oh, no, 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 no. But you may very well run into a shower. I don't think that's a big deal. Let me tell you what is. Lake effect snow. The thing is, they ain't got it in Orchard Park. It's off to the north. But look at these temperatures, for crying out loud. The chill of fall is in. Most of the rain is over before kickoff in the land of the 12th man. But, ooh, the late game. Looks more and more like this storm is going to bypass Green Bay to the south. But, again, 34 degrees. Let me tell you something about Martellus Bennett, okay? Last time he played in this type of cold, last year against the Packers, one catch, 15 yards, that's it. Last time Kyle Orton played in this type of cold, remember when he was with the Chiefs in 2011? Yeah, he's playing the Chiefs this year. Well, guess what? Stunk up the joint. A little food for thought, and buyer beware. Enjoy week 10. We're going across the pond. Good day, mate. Ah, nah, that's Australian. Can't win them all, guys.
No, but we certainly can win anytime, Jim Kosek.
That guy needs some toast and butter in his diet. That's
I'm sorry,
for sure.
What
toast and butter.
Toast and do it one more time
toast
for me.
Toast and butter toast is and what butter. He needs in his diet.
That is a great English accent.
Thank you.
We're going to have to do that throughout the rest of the show.
You know, buy should be a meal.
When
you know,
we return, our list of Week 10 must-starts is the answer to your bye-week blues. Find out which players you say and we say can't afford to be on your bench this Sunday. And later, if your lineup is lacking in firepower, our list of super sleepers is sure to give you a much-needed boost. Post and this is NFL Fantasy Live. Good one, Akbar.
You like that? Tell
I
you.
Did.
Tell you in the morning.
Sunday game day morning has an exclusive interview with Calvin Johnson as he reveals what to expect in his return to the field on Sunday. NFL game day morning, Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network. Speaking of Calvin Johnson, get a look at his fantasy production. Yeah, 28 points in week one and 0.7 in week five.
Everybody
a precipitous
drafted,
drop.
Whoever drafted him in the first round's like, yep, told you guys.
Yep, and then
I'm
quickly.
I'm so smart.
And remember,
that was Akbar, actually.
It was Akbar. He did not play in week six through eight as we welcome you back to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose Money here with the aforementioned Akbar, who drafted Calvin Johnson with, I believe, the number five overall pick. And you have now traded.
That's right.
Calvin Johnson, Adam Rank, Michael Fabiano, Matt Money Smith here. You traded him to me, as a matter of fact.
I did.
I presented.
My first trade ever.
Ever.
Yes,
ever.
It's about
ever.
Time.
Well,
you.
Actually, it was technically your second trade ever because you traded me
the
Cam Newton for Tony Gonzalez 2 years ago right here at this desk.
But it never happened.
And then welched when we got off the air. But this one did go through. I sent you Justin Forsett, Golden Tate, and Martavis Bryant. You sent me Megatron and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and the biggest reason why I did this trade is because I want to still stay competitive in this league. Of course, my record doesn't reflect that.
Play the spoiler.
I needed to have a running back that helped my lineup. Justin Forsett, I thought, would do that. And then you gave me some couple of wide receivers. Yep. They're not Calvin Johnson, but I had to let go of that emotional attachment to Calvin Johnson so I could improve my lineup.
Who wins, right? Fabs, who wins? Who wins the deal?
I did.
Well, you could have the first round pick, the number one overall selection next year if you just had kept tanking it.
You blew it.
But you blew it.
I'm a winner.
The team that always gets the biggest blue chipper is the team that wins to me. So you won, but he helped out his team immensely.
Let's see if I win. What are the expectations for Calvin Johnson versus the Dolphins this week?
Well, if you ask Calvin Johnson, they're pretty good. Yep. And we had talked about Nate Burleson's interview with him on Game Day Morning coming up this Sunday. And Nate asked him flat out, should people start you this week on their fantasy teams? And he said, absolutely. It's Calvin Johnson, and we're assuming, Money, that he's healthy. And when Calvin Johnson is healthy, he's going to put up numbers. Now, he hadn't been a big touchdown scorer if you look at his last eight games overall, but still, this is a playmaker and a guy you likely drafted. first round.
And I will say this. If a guy like Calvin Johnson comes out and says he's ready to play, oh, you better believe he's ready to play, because it's very unselfish of him actually not to go out there when, you know, probably he could have gone out there and played hurt, but he wanted to make sure that he was healthy.
Against the Falcons.
But now going up against the Miami Dolphins now, I mean, this
good
is
secondary.
A very right. good secondary. Right. We've seen how they beat up other big wide receivers. They beat up Brandon Marshall, not big production there. Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffrey, Malcolm Floyd. We've seen how he's played against it. Dwayne Bowe. All these guys haven't put up big numbers.
If the Lions, I know it's not fantasy related, but if the Lions win this game, they will be the number one seed in the NFC. Wow. Coming out
That's
of
impressive.
Week 10, the Detroit Lions. All right, Calvin is a must-start whenever he's in the lineup. Let's talk about some other wideouts that we like this weekend. Fabs, get us started.
Let's talk about Kelvin Benjamin. Now, this is the year of the rookie wide receiver, guys, right? We've had so many rookies who have been putting up solid numbers. Not all of them have been as consistent, though, as Kelvin Benjamin. And this is a great matchup on Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. They've given up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. They've given up 2+ receiving touchdowns in 7 of 8 games. So they are consistently bad against wideouts. Benjamin is a must play.
How about it, Rank?
I like Roddy White this week. He's going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team he has traditionally owned over the course of his career. And, of course, this is going to be a great matchup. The Buccaneers have allowed the most fantasy points to receivers this season, so I feel comfortable with both these guys. I understand he's been a little bit of a disappointment. When I'm talking about both these guys, I mean him and Julio Jones, although I will say this. Roddy White will end up outscoring Julio Jones this week.
All right, how about it, Akbar?
Well, this is one of my guys that I got in the trade. It is, of course, Golden Tate. Golden Tate, I think, is going to do well, especially with Calvin Johnson being on the other side. No doubt about it that the defense will pay a special amount of attention to Calvin Johnson, and it's going to leave Golden Tate in an area where he's familiar, being able to be productive. He's already done that without Calvin Johnson, 152 receiving yards per game in the last 3 weeks. He's had 19+ fantasy points, so we know he can be productive with or without Calvin Johnson in the lineup.
I don't know what it says about you going with one of the receivers I traded you and me going with the other. I like Martavis Bryant this week going against the Jets. Look at that. He is owned in just 31% of NFL.com leagues. He has tied an NFL record with 5 touchdowns in his first 3 career starts. And again, I like big wide receivers with strong hands when you get into the red zone. And obviously you can see the breakaway speed there when you get into the red zone, specifically on this play here. That's when guys like Ben, that's when quarterbacks like Big Ben are going to be looking for you. And Bryant is a significant red zone threat, and he is going against a terrible secondary. The Jets, you see it here.
Say that again.
24 receiving touchdowns allowed this season. That is 6 more than the second worst team. Here is your wide receiver rankings, the aggregate from NFL.com. Antonio Brown, number 1. A lot of the names that we talked about. Calvin Johnson right there at number 5.
Can we erase
AJ Green?
Well, wait, hold on. He's ahead of all those guys.
Yeah, AJ tried. Jeez. We'll just leave it there.
I'm going to write him a thank you note. Right.
Mohamed Sanu also in our top 20, and it just did not work out. So from the wide receivers to the running backs, who do we like this week, Fabs?
Well, geez. It's like we planned this segment. Justin Forsett.
I made the worst trade ever.
You just traded to my friend Akbar here. Now, he's not going to put up huge numbers week in and week out.
Don't say that.
But he gives you double digits almost all the time. 5 of his last 6 games, he scored double-digit fantasy points. He plays the Titans this week. You want to talk about a bad run defense? They've given up more fantasy points to running backs over the last 2 weeks than any other team in the National Football League.
So he will give me big numbers.
So let me give you a little bit of advice.
Okay, I'm listening.
Start Justin Forsett this week.
Okay, I will.
What do I need? Calvin Johnson to give me like 40 points to get this thing back here? What about it, Frank?
Hey, don't you still have Mark Ingram?
I sure do.
See, I'll look out for my OC bro right there and talk a little Mark Ingram. The amazing thing to me is that he's a top 5 running back when it comes to touchdowns scored. He's had 6 this season. Amazing when you consider how much time he's missed, and yet he's still amongst the leaders. But he's more than just one of those guys who's taking touchdown plunges at the end of drives. He's actually getting a lot of attempts. He's had 20 attempts in back-to-back games, and it's really hard to remember back to a time when the Saints actually had a guy who was carrying the ball that much. Deuce McAllister is the one name who jumps out at me. I think he was the last guy who was really a true every down back for them, but Ingram has taken that role and played very well. So, money, there you go.
Yeah,
you
there we go.
To score for you.
30 rush attempts last week, by the way. Keep feeding that guy. How about it, Akbar? What do we got?
You know, I have to give props to Monty Ball for giving Ronnie Hillman his respect without being a hater or feeling entitled. He's already come out and said that, look, this is
this is Ronnie Hillman's backfield. I mean, he's deserved it. He's been very productive. And Ronnie Hillman has shined with this opportunity. You look at his matchup going up against the Oakland Raiders. They are not very good at stopping the run. This is going to be another big game for Ronnie Hillman. He's going to continue the trend. And did I mention he went to San Diego State University?
No, never mentioned that. I never mentioned that.
Marshall Faulk went to that school, just so you know.
I'm going shoelace as somebody that waved that Toby Gerhardt flag before the season. Yes, I admit I was wrong. And he has been a dynamic threat out of that backfield. You look at 6 yards per rush in the last 3 weeks. I think Toby Gerhardt was averaging about 1.5 yards per rush.
Yikes.
Over 100 yards per game in the last three. That is the second most in the NFL. And the Cowboys, yeah, they allow a lot of rush yards, 100-plus in 6 of their last 7 games. So if you were fortunate enough to recognize that Denard could give you something, make sure you get him in that lineup when they start across the pond over there
way.
In London.
Yeah. A Jaguars running back is breaking out this year.
See, I knew. I just had the wrong guy. Here are our top 10 running back starts after the bye week. Matt Forte against Green Bay. No surprise. Those are the big names in the top 5. You see Mark Ingram there at the bottom, number 10. Justin Forsett, number 11. We already got Jeremy Hill, Terrence West, and Ben Tate. And, hey, Tate and Terrence West did us right. You see it there. Double-digit points for each of them. Jeremy Hill, not so much, and he was rather vocal about how disappointed he was that he didn't have an opportunity to maybe put up more of those points. Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, which quarterbacks can you trust in Week 10? Find out next when Michael Fabiano reveals his top 10 quarterback starts for the week. This is the one and only NFL Fantasy Live. Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, we're going spelunking to find you some Sunday gems. See which sleepers we say are going to shine bright in Week 10. Plus, you may think you have your lineup all set, but don't hit that submit button just yet. Adam Rank's top likes and dislikes for the week are coming up. And if you wish, you could hit the reset button on your fantasy season. You're not the only one. Our fantasy tech support guru, Marcus Grant, is here to debug your lineup and get your team back to full speed. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money Smith here with the Hoff. Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Fans, remember, you can always hit us up on Twitter with your questions at NFL Fantasy Fabs. Let's get a look at your top 10 quarterback starts for the week. Peyton Manning against the Aaron Rodgers. You know what? The Bears might as well be the Raiders every time they face the Packers. Grab one of these. Which one you want to start with?
Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick first. Kaepernick was a touchdown and a fumble away from having a big game last week. Of course, we all know what happened at the end of that contest. Fumbled near the goal line. It was an 8-point fantasy swing. But believe it or not, he's better on the road from a fantasy perspective than he is at home. In fact, he is averaging 20 fantasy points per game away from San Francisco. So I say start him, and I like the matchup against New Orleans. They have given up the 9th most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season.
You saw him there against the Rams. Put him on that fast track and that turf and watch those legs start churning. To somebody who, well, doesn't have quite the mobility skills that Colin Kaepernick does.
That's true.
He's got the arm.
And there's a little risk here because Ryan has scored 15-plus fantasy points only once on the road this year. But he's playing the Buccaneers, Money. I mean, this is one of the worst defenses in the entire league. They've given up the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've given up 18 touchdown passes. That's tied for 2nd most in the league. So I know it's a road game, but the matchup is too good to ignore, especially when you have 6 teams on a bye this week.
All right, remember, if you want more of our QB starts for Week 10, be sure to visit NFL.com/now to download the app for free as we dish out more guys that have to be in your lineup this week exclusively for NFL Now viewers. There are your starts, Fabs. We know there are a lot of teams on a bye this week, but give us an idea of some quarterbacks you would consider benching, even with those 6 teams not on the schedule.
Well, the first name is Ryan Tannehill, and I know he's been one of the hottest quarterbacks in fantasy football over the last few weeks, but this is a bad matchup against the Detroit Lions. They've allowed the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. And this is one of those Matt Money Smith, I hate this stat, but I'm still going to say it. Tannehill has 3 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in 4 career indoor games.
I hate that stat.
I know you hate it, but it is a good stat to me. Nonetheless, And if I have Tannehill on my fantasy team, and maybe I also have a Carson Palmer, I'm putting Tannehill on the bench this week.
All right, from Ryan Tannehill, and that's one thing, he's kind of snuck up on us this season. Jay Cutler has been pretty darn good this season as a fantasy quarterback.
Very good, yeah. And one of the best bargains in fantasy football, but when he goes to Lambeau Field, it's like his kryptonite. He has 2 touchdown passes in 3 career games in Green Bay. And in those 3 games, he has 10 interceptions. He averaged 190 passing yards per game in those 3 contests. So it's sort of like his old little house of horrors there in Green Bay.
Whatever Bill Belichick is to Peyton Manning, multiply that by 700. And that's what Dom Capers has been to Jay Cutler since he arrived in Chicago. For more now, let's throw it over to Adam Rank.
Thank you, Money. Every week, I give the thumbs up or the dreaded thumbs down on a variety of topics, from Sons of Anarchy to Tyler Black to the dog chew toy industry. In the meantime, I mix in some fantasy football, and since we're here, let's start with my first like of the week, Eagles quarterback Mark Sanchez. All right, let's get your butt fumble jokes out of your system. Have a good laugh with it, because when you're time to get serious, you'll realize Sanchez is the quarterback who can go to work for you. Sanchez was handpicked by Chip Kelly and is a great fit for this offense, as evidenced by his 2 touchdowns last week and the entire preseason. He's got a great matchup on Monday night against the Panthers, who are very generous to fantasy quarterbacks. You know what? Let's stay here in this game, because I like Cam Newton, too. Newton has been a little bit of a disappointment. I mean, even his Madden rating has taken a beating this year. But put all of that aside, because he has a real nice matchup against the Eagles, who have been just as giving defensively as the Panthers. The Eagles have allowed multiple touchdown passes in 7 of 8 games this year and tons of yards. So expect this to be a shootout. Both quarterbacks will benefit. Well, this can't be all Mai Tais and Yahtzee, so let's move on to my first dislike of the week, Frank Gore. The Saints have been pretty tough on the run in recent weeks and have allowed only 1 rushing touchdown in the last month. The 49ers haven't scored a rushing touchdown in 5 consecutive games. They've never gone 6 games without a rushing touchdown in club history. If that skid ends, however, I don't expect it to be Gore. Moving on, I like Percy Harvin this week. As much fun as it has been to watch the Steelers' pass offense, their defense has provided some good times to opponents as well. The Steelers have allowed 7 receiving touchdowns in their last 3 weeks. Harvin has really become a focal point of the Jets' offense with 11 receptions on 13 targets last week, so I see a huge Sunday for Harvin in a Jets upset. That's right, that's an Akbar-type call. I'm calling the upset. And finally, I have to go thumbs down to Vincent Jackson, who has scored double-digit fantasy points only once this year. But it's not you, Vinny. It's a situation. The play calling has been awful in Tampa Bay. The only thing that has salvaged it has been Mike Glennon stepping back and just throwing stuff around. But you know what? Now he's on the bench, so I'm going to avoid this dumpster fire for sure. Now here are some more of my likes and dislikes for the coming week. Matt Ryan, again, has a great matchup there in Tampa Bay. Joique Bell, one of the more underrated stars. Roddy White, to me, is going to score more points. I said this earlier. He's going to score more points than Julio Jones this week. Jay Cutler, as Michael said, is somebody to keep on the bench. Michael Floyd, you've been a disappointment. And Jason Witten, you're always there, buddy. You're not going to be on my list of guys who I like. Sorry. All right. Is your fantasy season suffering from some technical difficulties? Well, Marcus Grant clearly feels your pain. So he's taking your calls when we return for a little fantasy tech support.
Fantatech, your number one solution for fantasy support. Marcus speaking.
Hey, Marcus, my name's Adam, although I don't know why I'm giving you my name. But anyways, I'm having this problem going on with Keenan Allen.
I'm sorry you're having this problem, Adam. What can I do to help you?
Well, I keep putting him in my lineup, and it keeps coming back with 0 points.
Look, have you tried maybe restarting?
Oh, thanks, Dr. Hawking. I hadn't thought of any of those obvious answers. Of course I tried to restart it. It's just not working.
Look, I don't need your sass, okay? Look, like a lot of people, you went and upgraded to a Keenan Allen last year, and we found there's a bug in the program. So my suggestion, roll back your version to Antonio Gates. He seems to be the guy catching all the Phillip Rivers touchdown passes this year.
Yeah, but what if that doesn't work?
Well, what I found is that for a lot of fantasy users, their password is actually the word password. So have you tried logging in as your opponent?
Actually, I've never thought of that.
You should probably give it a shot.
Hold on. What'd you say? What was that?
Password.
Oh, my God, it worked.
Should I? I'm going to go, dude, I'm going to dump his whole lineup.
That's exactly what you should do.
All right, cool. Thanks,
yeah,
bro.
Duke, glad I could help. Fantatec, your number one solution for fantasy support.
Look, my name is Frank Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O. Look, I've got an issue here. I drafted Matt Ryan, Roddy White, hoping to get double-digit points this week, but I'm getting this 404 not found error. What in the world is going on here? Now, I know that's Atlanta's area code, but I'm confused here.
Well, first off, interrupt much. Second, a 404 error means you've got a lost connection.
You're telling me? Look, Roddy's barely seen the end zone this year, and now, right now, I'm having an issue. Can you troubleshoot this or what?
Yes, yes, I can. Just calm down. Roddy's best days are behind him. You need to drop him. Go pick up Martavis Bryant off the waiver wire. Bryant, he's got a pretty strong connection with Ben Roethlisberger right now.
All right, hold on. Let me try this, man. And you need to watch your mouth. You got a little poop mouth going on right now. All right, look, I'm still getting this 404 not found error. Now what?
Is there any chance maybe you're stealing somebody's Wi-Fi?
Hold on, why are you sweating me, man? Can I speak to a manager or something?
Look, I've got a simple solution. You need to stop mooching off your neighbor's internet and get a job, you bum. Everybody knows you can't win a fantasy championship with a shoddy internet connection.
Hold on,
thanks for calling.
You're not the boss of me.
Fantatec, your number one solution for fantasy support. Marcus speaking.
Hey, Marcus, it's Adam from earlier.
Oh, hi, Adam. What's going on?
Don't sound too excited. Dude, that whole thing with dropping the lineups worked, but now I've got this, I got a friend. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
I got a friend.
Yeah, friend. You know, how can I help your friend?
Oh, yeah. See, there are all these RB2s on sale, so I said it was a guy, right?
Yeah.
Because I know girls. Like, I seriously.
Good for you.
Anyways, but he picked up Ben Tate and Steven Jackson. And, there's all these RB3s from Carolina on sale, too. Pick them all up.
So your team, I mean your friend's.
Friend's
your
team.
Friend's team. It must be
His name
awful.
Is Rex.
Right. It must be awful.
Not Rex Ryan. But, yeah, it is terrible. Like, I don't know how he's doing it. So what should Rex do?
Well, how about we go with a little quality for some of your quantity? Package up your mediocre running backs and try to get an upgraded version. Maybe a Justin Forsett or an Alfred Morris or something.
Okay, well, what if I'm playing with adults who won't take such terrible trades? Like, what do I do then?
Well, then you could find out what internet service provider your friend's opponent uses and just go and cancel that.
Why are your solutions so harsh? Are you really fantasy tech?
Are you really asking for a friend?
Fair point.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Well, still to come, we are dishing out our top sleepers for the week. But first, I got some business I got to go take care of.
With NFL Now, never miss another game highlight ever. Subscribe today and you'll get instant game highlights on all your devices. Download the NFL Now app today. Learn more at NFL.com/now. Speaking of now, it's time now for Sunday Gems presented by...
Every kiss begins with K.
How old were you when you got your first kiss, Marcus?
He's still waiting
think too
for
long.
He's still waiting
wow,
for
welcome
it.
Back.
Like, Hershey's Kiss? Like,
NFL
I was, like,
Fantasy
so
Live. Hey, you should have gone to K Jewelers. It would have come sooner. We're talking about Week 10 sleepers to help your rosters out. Speaking of Marcus, why don't you start us out there?
11, that's the answer.
Bro. 11
wow.
years old?
Oh,
how about
tell
that?
Your mama.
she just found out, apparently. My sleeper this week, my guy, is Doug Baldwin, because the Seahawks have been a little bit inconsistent throwing the football recently, but Baldwin is the number one target there, especially with Percy Harvin now collecting his mail in the Big Apple. You look at the Giants secondary, they have struggled. They have given up 9 receiving touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and now they don't even have Prince Amukamara there, who's been their best covered corner. So this looks like an opportunity for Doug Baldwin to get loose.
Super sleeper rank, what do we got?
I'm going to go with Kenny Stills. I know a lot of times when you're going to play the Saints receivers, it's like going to the bingo parlor where they just like kind of, you know, they're just turning that thing. They reach
and kind of,
hey, look, it's Brandon Cooks. But I'm going to go with Kenny Stills. Over the last 3 games, he has had 14 receptions, which is the most on the team. The 49ers give up a lot of big plays to receivers, especially on the road. So I'm looking for the guy that Drew Brees is looking for.
All right, we got our Emerald. We got our Ruby. What do we got here for your Sunday gem?
Well, we're going Black Diamond right here, and we're going with Marcus Wheaton.
Marcus Wheaton going
up against the New York Jets. This is bad, the secondary. And they're starting an undrafted free agent from last year, a guy that is new on the team, doesn't really know the defense really well. I'm telling you right now, Ben Roethlisberger is going to eat him up, and he's going to use Marcus Wheaton to do that and accomplish that.
All right, keep it going, Fabs. Sunday gem.
I've actually got some stats here that you will like.
All right. I'll be the judge of that.
Charles Clay, a touchdown in two of his last three games.
I like it.
He's playing who this week?
The Detroit Lions.
In four home games, the Lions have given up three touchdown catches to tight ends, one in every game except for one, and in that game, it was against the Saints, and Jimmy Graham was being used as a decoy. That's why I think Charles Clay is a very nice play. Did you like those stats?
I liked the first one. The second one was garbage.
Come on.
Here's why I like Jordan Matthews, because he was targeted in the red zone by Mark Sanchez last week. The Panthers, they have allowed 12 reception touchdowns to wide receivers this season. That's the second most in the NFL. That stat notwithstanding, their secondary has not been good. The middle of the defense has not been good. The Panthers' defense is a shell of what it was last season. No stats there, just analysis. That's going to do it for us here. We'll see you Sunday morning at 11:30 Eastern on NFL Now and their NFL Red Zone channel with all the latest injury news and fantasy analysis leading up to kickoff.